The question that we asked each other is, what is a debar? What is a debar? It's a word for God for a season. A word from God for a season would be considered a debar. And everybody needs to discern their debar for that particular season. D-A-B-A-R. And you have to really have a discerning ear to hear your debar. Faith comes by what? And hearing comes by what? So where are you going to get your debar? From hearing, because your debar would be considered your what? Your word. Because debar is a word from God. There's rhema words from God, logos words from God. So a debar is a word from God. And that word won't come to you unless you have a listening ear. Now, where are we going to get that hearing ear? How do we hear? In order to get a word. How do we develop a hearing ear? By hearing the word, or by what? Reading the word will increase our ability or our hearing. Okay? And then we said faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing comes by the word of God. So the more that you dwell in the word of God, the more you're going to get a hearing ear. And that's what we're trying to develop. I believe that this is the bar for us right now, so I'm trying to just stay right in sync with the Holy Spirit and try to encourage everybody to get into the Word a little bit more, you know, and to value their personal devotional time so that they would be able to hear heaven and develop their faith. Because I believe God wants to do something. And God will do it as we build ourselves up. All right, why don't we go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. It's really strong in my spirit right now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is how we're going to get this life that God wants us to have. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Well, that goes with kind of hearing, doesn't a hearing spirit? My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. How many of y'all want some money?
Amen.
No, seriously, how many of you want money? When you really think about it, if you thought there was a pot of gold out there or hid treasure out there, how many would be sitting here in this room? You could go dig. You'd be going to get it. You'd be going to get it. Well, that's how, in order to receive this promise, you got to have that same desire. You got to hunt down the word as much as you do resources or money. Okay? If thou seekest after her as silver, until your desire and love for the word reaches your desire and love for money, and for material things, people do a lot of weird things for money. I tell you what, people, you know how much people want money? They will spend 8 hours of their day doing something they don't want to do in order to get it. Think how precious money is. And they will do that for 62 years out of their life. You know how much they like that stuff? They will go to a school before they even get money. Okay, before they even have to go work those 8 hours a day. And many of them don't even work the 8 hours a day. Some of them, what is it, 12 hours or 12-hour days? Okay, in order to get what? Not because they go there and they like seeing the wallpaper in that office. They're not going there because they get to go to heaven for going there. They're going there for one reason. What is that? Everybody say money. And we'll do all kind of things to get that. There's nothing wrong with money. That's just the way it goes, right? Well, if we would seek after the wisdom of God, just a fraction. You know what? If we could figure out that this will give me just as much as my time is spent, I tell you what, tell me what, which one is more potent. How much do you get from this? And how much do you invest in this and get back from it versus what you invest in other things and get back from that? Most people get this about once a week, once or twice a week for about an hour. And the return is, Lord, have mercy, eternal riches from heaven. It will even increase your personal finance. It'll give you quality life. It gives you healing. It'll give you all kind of stuff. For what you put in and what you get out of it, I tell you what, it's much more, isn't it? You get a lot out of it. But it says, if you seek after her as and search for her as for treasures, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. If. Circle that. So that doesn't say that everybody. It doesn't tell us right here that everybody is going to get this. Everybody doesn't fear God. And the fear of God is the life of faith. Everybody that says they're living by faith and walking by faith, they're not. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Everybody says, I'm just walking by faith. No, they're not. Most of those people are living by faith, and they'll just spit a prayer out every now and then, but it's not faith. Faith is based on those that are reading things in the Word, living in the Word, and walking in obedience to what those things that they've heard from God. It says, if you do these things, then there is a gift of hearing and there is a gift of wisdom. But that, you know, there's something we got to do to put in to get that gift back. And we got to value the gift. It's not just someone's just smarter than the other guy because they studied it more. No, it's what they put in. It says, if you do this, then. Everybody, do you see that? If in chapter 2, verse 4. And then you see then in 5. It says, if you do this, then this will happen. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. Then you'll understand the life of faith. How many of you would love to have an understanding of the life of faith? You get to understand those spiritual principles. I understand what's going on. There are a lot of people that are in darkness right now. They don't understand anything that's going on. But if you would take and you would just meditate on the Lord your God and on the Word, you'll get a supernatural understanding of things that other people can't comprehend. And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up what? Sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserve the ways of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. Every good path. When we were talking about direction this morning in church, everybody's got a choice they got to make. Everybody's got a decision they've got to make. And we say, listen, if you just get into the Word and stay in the Word, guess what will happen to you? Every good path. You will understand every good path. How many want some direction for your life? Well, you can find direction. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You'll find the good way to go, the good path. Now this says, if thou will receive my words, and those words are, everybody say sayings or speech. It's not, this word that he's using there is not rhema, it's not logos, it's not necessarily debar, okay? But it's just hear me. Just hear me. Get around me long enough to hear what I say, then you'll find out what's behind, what's within my heart. If you listen to a person talk, sooner or later you'll see their heart. What comes out of a person's mouth is truly what's in their heart. And there are times when you just got to spend time with Jesus in the Word. You got to spend time with God in the Word, just listening to the Word, reading Word over and over again, that you might be able to what? Hear Him and understand Him. It says receive. Everybody say receive. It says, if thou will receive my words. And that word receive, there are several things it means to seize, to grab a hold of, or to take, and to use them. Okay? If you receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the judgment of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of sinners is laid up for the just. I like that. He said he's laid up. That word, when we look at Proverbs chapter 2, it says he lays it up. Well, God's got some things laid up for you. You will only get your inheritance as you get into the Word. God would be an unjust God for you to seek in him and follow him and him to be your father and not lay up some good stuff for you. It says a good man layeth up an inheritance for his children. Well, you're going to realize that if you're a child of God, that you got an inheritance from heaven. And it's already laid up for you. It says it right here in Scripture. It says, listen, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children. He that keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth his way of the saints, then shall I understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. The advantages of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thee, unto thy soul. When is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Everybody read that. Let's read that. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into your heart, when you get it deep down on these, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. Discretion shall preserve you, to deliver thee from the way of evil men. Do you know there are some people that are out there? What do you mean deliver you from the way of evil men? Everybody's got a scheme that they're on. Everybody's got a plan. Everybody's got something going on. And I tell you what, misery loves company. Misery loves company. Every path is not the path of God for you. And you're going to get on the wrong path. Let me tell you, the path that's not God's will for your life, whether you realize it or not, it's an evil path for you. It might not be people drinking and carrying on in that path, but if it's not God's perfect will for your life, that's an evil path for you. What you want is you want to be where God wants you to be. You want to be doing what God wants you to be doing. You want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Everybody say sin. Say it one more time. Sin. Now, we read that scripture this morning. It said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, the premise of sin is this. Everybody thinks that sin is necessarily what you do. Well, what you do, those evil habits that we have at times, is not necessarily sin. But what that is the fruit of sin. Okay? And when sin is basically, writing this definition down of sin, missing the mark. Missing the mark. There's a destiny on everybody's life. Do you hear me? There's a call on everybody's life. And I tell you what, you better hit the mark. And when you don't hit that mark of destiny for your life or that call on your life, guess what it's going to breed? Sin and rebellion. All those other things, when you see people getting off into these gross habits of evil, prostitution, all these heavy things, that is the fruit of someone missing the mark of God in their life. They're on a wrong path. They're on the wrong ground. They're in the wrong... I tell you what, if you're in the wrong field, you're not going to be able to grow good things, are you? God puts you in the right field that will grow good things. And many people wonder, why is all this crud coming up out of my heart? All these sinful things. Why? Maybe you're on the wrong path. Maybe you're not in the field of God where God wants you to be. Get in the right thing. Evil path is a path that's not perfect for your life. There is a path of God for your life. You know, and that's what people got to understand. We're not just here wandering through life waiting to die. You know, if you can do a good little thing along the way, whoop-de-doo for you. That's not what it's all about. There's a plan for our life. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. And there's a roadmap for your life. And you know what? It's not even hidden to you. He gives you the Holy Ghost and says, walk this path that I have for you. There's a day for you tomorrow. Do you know that? Do you know there's a day for you tomorrow? And it's no better feeling in the world to say, hey, I'm doing what God wants me to do, how he wants me to do it, when he wants me to do it. And the basic term of prosperity is nothing more than God helping you fulfill your personal destiny. God will prosper his plan in your life. Now we're talking about, listen, to deliver thee, the word of God will deliver you from evil paths. The word of God will deliver you from evil paths. You know, from going down the wrong way. Spend time with Jesus. And it's just a supernatural thing. This book is so supernatural. We don't understand it. But the more you read it, doesn't matter where you read it at, anything you read in it, the more you read it, the more you want to do what God wants you to do. Live the way God wants you to live. No matter, I mean, you could read some scripture about some woman somewhere in the Bible, you know. And so how you read it long enough, you'll be doing exactly what God wants you to do in your life. Thy word have I hid in my heart. what you want from me. I don't take those things that you say, God, lightly. But I've hid it deep down on the inside of me that I might not sin against you. When we hide the words of God in our heart, like the words of God, when Jesus came and said, love one another. And you know what he said? He said that. Then he would say it again. Then he would say it again. He said it to Peter. He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, do you love me? Then he said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. That wasn't good enough. Then God said it again. Simon Bar-Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. What was Jesus putting across? That was a debar for Simon Bar-Jonah. And I tell you what, it's that word in his life. If he would just stay in that word, that thing that God was speaking to him, guess what would happen? If he would just walk in that love walk, you know what would happen? He would not sin. He wouldn't miss the God's mark of perfection for his life. We notice that he did sin, right? He did sin. If he had been doing what Jesus told him to do, he wouldn't have been in the wrong spot when it was time for him to deny Jesus. So listen, if we would hide the word of God on the inside of our heart, listen to what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us. You're going to need it tomorrow. We find that out so much that God does not send us into situations or into seasons unprepared. If you're unprepared, it's because your ears were stopped, but he spoke to you and told you what was going to come. He's not going to pull it on you surprise. He forewarns us and he tells us, listen, he gives us a word for every season that we don't have to miss it. He said, no temptation has become us that, you know what, that there hasn't been an already planned escape for us. Anybody ever read that in the Bible? There is, you know, that you won't be tempted beyond measure. But there is no sin. There's no opportunity of sin that will come to you. No opportunity of wrongdoing that there isn't already an escape for you. Well, what is the escape? The Word of God. When we're tempted to go on the, you know what, there's nothing more I want out of my life right now. There's nothing more that any individual could ever want in their life right now but to hear the Holy Ghost. And that's a gift. That's a gift. It's not just to believe in God, but to believe in God enough to follow Him. To believe in God enough to listen to Him. To believe in God enough to obey Him. Not to just some religion someplace or just some fairy tale, but to trust Him enough with your life. With your life. Now, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, is one scripture you might want to use. And another one is to deliver thee from the way of evil man. Well, I tell you what, that debar that God's trying to speak to you is the word that's going to deliver you. That's your escape when you really find out. He will always provide an escape. What's that escape? He's already provided. Y'all would understand seasons back when certain things come up, situations would come up, and I would just rejoice. And I say, hallelujah, He's already provided. I'm already prepared. See, I don't have to wait for the manifestation to materialize before I realize that God has already provided. If I've got a word about it, guess what? That's solid to me. And I can take that word to the bank. God has already provided everything you need. You have your means of escape. Now here we go. Everybody say evil people and good men. See, we got to look beyond. We got to understand. See, we got to understand. Get a stronger concept of evil and goodness. There is none good but Jesus. None good but God. And we can only imitate or follow after His goodness and His grace. Now the difference between, now you need to understand this in the day, those that will do gross evil in the last days are those that don't hear God. Because we can't, days will come, I tell you what, you know, when you're not going to be able to stand in your own strength. Everybody ever come up there where you try to live Christian in your flesh, you know, in your head, you know, somebody say the wrong thing and you pop off? That's not enough. You got to realize that you can't walk this walk on your own. But if you walk it the way Jesus taught us to walk it, you can. Evil men, says, who leave the path of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness. Isn't that neat? Well, we got to understand walking in the ways of darkness is about the illumination of the Word. Evil people walk outside of the Word. How many days do we live in our life whatever, without turning the light on? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I left it in my bedroom. Evil people walk in darkness. They take steps outside of the word. They go before God instead of going with God. We need to learn to walk with the inspiration of our devotional life and stand secure in that. How do we? Why do they call people that evil? Why they're in dark? You know, they're just walking. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're at. They're outside of the word. Who rejoice to do evil? Rejoice to do evil. Well, what's basically evil? Calling people. I tell you what was basically evil. Whatever. You know what I tell you? If God tells me that I need to preach this glorious gospel with my life on a daily basis, you know, and I need to give myself to you, and I decided to sell cookies, I tell you what, in God's eyes, that's evil. Because I'd be stealing the best from somebody else. Because God knows what's on our life and what we need to contribute. God, it's evil for someone not to come to the fullness of their potential. Don't you know that some people live off the words that you speak? Lives will be saved off the life that you live in Jesus Christ, that what you do can make a difference in somebody else's life. And if we stop trying to govern our own lives, but walk in the Word and walk by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and get the most out of it, we can live upright and righteous lives. Abraham believed God. And you know what? Belief in God goes in sync with what? Goes in sync with obedience. Faith without works is dead, and you're not going to be able to work something unless you obey it, right? So Abraham believed God, and it was credited unto him as what? Righteousness. Righteousness. Someone that believes God enough to obey him, that's walking in righteousness. God will speak to you. I believe the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will lead you. He will guide your steps, you know what? And he'll provide for you where he speaks. We need to get beyond that stuff, because every once in a while, we Christian people, we get to the point where we don't do the same things that everybody else does. Then we get all cocky and proud about it. You know, I don't cuss like this one, you know, so I'm better off than the other one, but I'm still doing whatever I want to do. You know, I didn't yell at the other one, but I'm doing good. I'm not sleeping with nobody else's wife, so I'm pure and I'm holy. I'm ready. When you grow up in Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that anything outside of the will of God for you, you got to take it as evil. Lord, your word I delight to do. I want to be right smack. I just don't want, you know what I'm saying? We got to get beyond that thing. I want to live my life according to his promises and his purpose for my life. What a sin to miss God's best for us. Believe God enough to trust him. Believe God enough to listen to him. And then once you start to listen to him, believe him and trust him enough to do it. This is faith. God will make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. I really believe that when I sit up there, when I hear the Holy Ghost, it's an evil thing to have the inspiration of the Holy Ghost on your life and not obey it. Why is that an evil thing? Because you tell God you know more than he does. That you got a better plan than he does. You call his word untrue. This is when we grow up in the faith. Ain't nobody baby Christians in here. Baby Christians, you teach them, well, don't do this, don't do that. When you grow up in God, then you start to hear, follow the Holy Ghost. Wherever he leads you, follow. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of wickedness. And listen to this. Whose ways are crooked. It's just not what they talk about crooked on the TV show. That's just not, I mean, crooked, wicked, witch. A witch is basically where we get that term wicked witch or witchcraft is rebellion. Which means that God's got a straight and narrow path for you and you want to go right. You know, you want to do what you want to do. You know what that is? That's rebellion. And rebellion is the sin as witchcraft. So wickedness. I tell you what, there are a lot of people that practice witchcraft every day when the Holy Ghost is leading them to do the right thing. And they're constantly kicking against the pricks and bucking and screaming and doing their own thing. That is as a sin of witchcraft. Whose ways are crooked and they are froward in their paths. How many of you want to be froward in your paths? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Flattery. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Flattery. Tell you what, flattery will get you nowhere. That doesn't mean that flattery... And when we hear that term, you got to think of it in a different way. Flattery will get you nowhere. It doesn't mean that, listen, I can't be flattered. You can be flattered. But when you receive that flattery, it's not going to take you anywhere. It won't get you anywhere. The devil will always try to boost your egos. He'll try to make his path look great. He'll try to make his path look wonderful. Hey, it's a good thing, but is it a God thing? come at you with many things. You got to learn to discern. And what is God's will for my life? Jesus, I want to be right in the center of your will. And you won't be. And you won't be. That's how Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness. He came at him with flattering words, didn't he? He came at him and said, you can have this, you can have that, you can do this, you can do all those other things. But Jesus said, listen, I'm going to stay in the Word. What is God's will for my life? We're about ready to take the promised land. The devil trying to get Jesus to look at the cross. I tell you what, but Jesus looked beyond the cross, despising all the shame, and saw the promise. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? The last hurdle that you got to jump, the last hurdle that you got to jump on this race of faith in between the season, the last hurdle that you got to jump is the jump of the flesh. I tell you what, get over the flesh, get over your own desires, and after that last hurdle, you're going to cross the finish line and step into provision and step over to the promised land. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Isn't that a trip? Like we're talking about this morning, people that can't keep commitment. Our God is a God that keepeth covenant to 1,000 generations. That's our God. When we first got saved, when we first got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit led you to do, you got all excited about it, goosebumps, and a tear came in your eye. You were all, you know, I felt led to do this. And then we grew up, supposedly. Supposedly. Evil people lose the guide of their youth. It's the simple, the basic simplicity of trusting. If you go walking with my puppies, you know what I'm saying? One of those dogs, the older one, you got to keep her on a leash. But the little teeny puppies, they're right there. They're right there. They're right there. You know why they're right there? Because they know that I'm their source. They haven't got out there and tried to make things happen for themselves. They know if they want to eat, that sooner or later from these hands, water will come down from a little silver bowl. They know that every once in a while, dog food will come into that plate and they'll get to eat. So they follow. They don't speak the same language we do, but they know when I say, come on, let's go. They're right there and they're just bouncing on. Everybody needs to take some homework and study those things. Many times we lose the guides of our youth. When we start to think that we provide for ourselves, that we fill our own dog bowls and our own water bowls, that we're no longer dependent upon God to get exactly what we need. God still provides. And forgetteth. And they forget the covenant. We have a covenant with God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so often, you know, when we first get saved, they make it real clear, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. When we first start out, we think of that covenant. And covenant means, God, you govern my life. It's not what I will, but it's what you will on the inside of me. Then we forget about that simple covenant, lordship, the covenant of lordship, and get on to the deep things. Prophecy, preaching, and all these big things. Healing. Woo-hoo-hoo. All the big things. And forget. The most important thing is that covenant, that love relationship that you have with God. That no matter what He says, that's where the power is. The power is in the covenant. The power, you will find how powerful you are by the assignments God gives you. Who forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto death. There is a way which seemeth right unto man. But what's the end of it? Will somebody quote that scripture for me? There's a way which... But its end leads only to death. I tell you what, every way that comes out of your head, there's a close to it. Nothing goes on forever. I don't care which... I tell you what, if it came out of your head, so if it's everything, all good things come to an end. But God, things will go on forever. You'll be able to catch the next wave of glory. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every new provision is just a step on to the next thing. But many people get stuck because they don't know the next step. That's how they die. They catch a wave that ends out, and then the waves ended out, and God's gone on to the next thing and say, where do we go next? They're stuck there. But we can go from glory to glory to glory. Someone says, this thing ain't going to last for long. I don't care, my God will. Something else will come along. One step after the other. That's how God likes it. It's exciting when we go on with God. None that go unto her return again, neither take hold they of the paths of life. Once people get stuck on themselves, get stuck on rebellion, And people just think it's just talking about some skinny woman, and you know, it looks good. You just can't hang out with loose women and all this other stuff. It means more than that. It's a spiritual significance to this. It's that spirit of rebellion. It's that woman of the head. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
That Jezebel spirit, all those things. Idolatry and all those things. Once you get into that, all those things, idolatry and all those things, it's hard to return. So don't ever leave. Don't ever leave the place of dependence upon the Holy Ghost. Good men. How many are around good people? You want to find a good man, find somebody that's walking after the call that won't forsake it. Good men. You need an example of goodness. And righteousness, a good person is no matter what they, you know, a good person is someone that's heard heaven and won't turn to the left nor to the right, but they're going to see it through. Whether there's fame in it, whether there's glory in it, whether there's nothing, they're going to stick to the plan of God. A good man shows you, demonstrates a good God. Now listen, good men, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. I want you to find the path of righteousness in your life. When you're doing the right, when you're walking in righteousness, you're just starting to do the right thing. How many want to find God's righteous path in your life? There's a righteousness of God within me. I'm the righteousness in Christ Jesus. That means that there's a right way on the inside of you. There's a right way on the inside of you. You know what to do in every case, in every situation. For the upright shall dwell. Everybody say dwell. For the upright shall dwell in the land. The upright, those that are walking in that righteousness on the inside of their heart, not just trying to do things just in a good way, but those that are walking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. Those are those that get to the promised land and get to stay there. There are a whole lot of people that are going to be sitting at the table, got there early, and took principal seats. They got to get out of somebody else's seat. Do you hear what I'm saying? It says when you go into a room, don't take the top seat, because when the one that belongs there is going to come in, they're going to ask you to move. I tell you what, there are a whole lot of people sitting in some of the righteous seats right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're sitting up there. I tell you what, many seats that the wicked are sitting in today, and they're going to have to get up so that the righteous can sit down. Those that got it by faith will get there and stay there. Anybody can get anywhere. You can go to a finish line all you want to. You can, when you start a race, you can go there before the race even begins and sit there on the other side of the line. It doesn't believe you're going to stay there. But you got to get there the right way so you can remain there. We want to dwell. We want people be people that dwell. I tell you what, those spies went out that they sent out Joshua and Caleb over to the promised land. They looked out the land. Well, they were there. They went over there and looked out over the land and saw what was over there. But they just got there. It wasn't enough to get there. They had to come back, but they had to get there in the way of faith so that they could dwell there forever. Let's get up and stay there. When you get there God's way, you get to stay there. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Everybody say perfect. Everybody say perfect. Why do you think God's working us over so much? Why? It's because the perfect shall remain there. We heard Robert Laird talk Friday night about rocket preachers. How many ever seen these rocket preachers? Well, in the 80s, we've seen rocket churches. In 3 years, they were up to like about 5 or 6,000. And in 6 weeks, they were down to about 10. Why? How we get to a place determines how long you stay there. If God's working perfection in us at this point, He's working perfection in us so that when we get to where God wants us to get, the devil can't drag you out of it. You know, I have the stuff that it takes to remain where God put me. See, I know how I got here. And if I slip a little bit, I can find my way back. I didn't take any shortcuts. But I've learned His voice, and I listened to His instruction as He took me down the path of my life, that I would remain where God put me. Enjoy the walk of faith, people. Enjoy where God's got you as you're going to where you're going. How many of you find in this walk you don't go back just as quickly as you used to? And when we first started out this thing, one step forward, two steps back. But it gets to the point, amen, you just start to walk. You're tired of walking, wearing yourself out. But you start to walk by faith. Say, hey, I don't have to walk like that looking crazy. I can go like this. Just sit there and rest a while. Just take a step at a time. Somebody say one step at a time. We got all eternity. God's going to provide for us. When do you step? When you feel like it? No, when He calls you. Steps. 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 Steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. What does that mean? A step of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. That means we just don't step up when we feel like stepping up. I'll step up. He says, come on up. I'll say, yes, sir. Then I'll step. Wait right there for a moment. Hold on. Just wait right there. He'll call you up. God's not going to leave you where you are. When it's time for you to come up, he'll call you up. He's not going to leave you stuck there. God will pace your race by the Holy Ghost. You know, if you don't have the pace of God, many people, we would have given up a long time ago if we didn't allow the Holy Ghost to pace our steps and to pace our race. And we got to have the understanding that right now, right here and right now is where God has us and what he has us doing. And this is God's best for us when he paces our steps. And we can celebrate in it. And I tell you what, if you're not rejoicing in it, if you're not singing in the Spirit in it, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost in that season, guess what? You shouldn't try to go on. I tell you what, complacency and worn out and all these other things, that's not a call up. I'm worn out trying to do what I'm doing right now. God, give me more. But when we learn to handle with joy and with fire and with anointing, that's when we hear his voice and say, come on. I like to perfect right here where we are. I used to daydream about the future. Daydream and visualize, and we do visualize. But I realize we can get so visionary for tomorrow. And so visionary for tomorrow that we forget to live today. These are wonderful days that were a vision that I had yesterday. There were some days in my life where we would just visualize sitting in a room with people telling them about Jesus Christ. Would you mind if we just sat back for a little bit and did what God wants us to do and enjoy it? Many of you are sitting in cars today that you believe for it. Why don't you just go on and enjoy it? Go on and be happy and let the Holy Ghost call you up. Celebrate where you are. When you can expand yourself and completely fill this season that you're in with the Spirit of grace and God's love and his ability, outgrow where you are. No, you can't go anywhere, but you can grow everywhere. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we stop running from this to that and chasing that rabbit trail and stop just going places, let's grow places. Let's grow into what God wants us to get. I'm so sick of seeing people just go. Here today, gone tomorrow. They just gone. Where are they today? No, that's not how God does things. I'm so glad Jesus didn't go and leave us. He grew into a name highly exalted above every other name, but yet he is still with us. Isn't that something about Jesus? And even though, I mean, he's been promoted on, thank you, Father. Even though he was God all by himself, but yet he is still right there. We grow beyond things. Grow into what God wants us to grow into. Do you hear what I'm saying? Say, I'm going to fill this season with the grace of God and with the anointing of God. You know, you're not going to be able to fight the devil in the future, and you can't fight the devil yesterday. The only way you can slap the devil is right now. You're not in the ring tomorrow. You're in the ring right now. And if you want to get back at the devil and put him in his place, you got to find out where he is in this season. You'll defeat the devil in the season that you abide in. Many people try to run from him. They try to run from him to the next season or to the next level or to the next step. Then he steals your life. Then you let him do it again. Then you let him do it again. Then you let him do it again. You're not going from glory to glory. You're running from the devil. Many people's success and accomplishment is not really success and accomplishment. It's fear. It's how great men get these ego, Napoleon syndrome and all these syndromes. They got to be better than somebody else. Fear. It says, the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect. Then that word perfect goes, give me some change up words for perfect. Some words that we can fit for use. That's exactly what it is. Everybody say ready?
Ready.
Or fit for use. What's some other words that we can pull in for this word right here? Lacking nothing that's required for the moment. That's a good one. Give me some more. Blameless. I like that. The perfect, the blameless. So how about excellent? How about excellent, righteous, or excellent? I tell you what, if you know how you stay in a place, stay in it in excellence. How you stay in that place in excellence. That's how you remain someplace. You remain there with excellence. And you're not only going to be able to keep excellence with a spirit of endurance. So many people get stuffed, and after they get it, they get blessed with a car or a house or whatever it is. And when they first get that house, all the flowers look good. The carpet's vacuum. Everything's out of place 3 years down the road. It looks like they didn't move a couple hogs in the kitchen, and it's just a pigsty. It's just a mess. Well, they won't remain like that. They're not going to be able to stay anywhere like that. You want to keep your balance and stop being pushed back. Allow God to pace you to the place of excellence. Remember that prayer said, Lord, don't let us exceed our excellence. Not meaning don't let us go beyond. You know, don't let us jump into something that we can't do with excellence. It's how we stay where we are. Anybody can make something look good. Anybody see cheap stuff, looks real good. There are a lot of places, a lot of things you get into, and a lot of people you meet. That first impression stays on there until you wash it a bit. Or until you put it in and try to use it. Or until the rains come and they weather the storms and do all those things. Then it really shows what sort it is. Those kind of people can't stand anywhere. But you're the people that can weather the storm. These words have been really strong. And I guess it's been the prophetic word. Today we've been saying this a lot. Even in our conversations we've been hearing this word. It might be a debar for us. That word dwell. That word means abide. Study this word. Say, I will abide. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You need to let the devil know you're abiding in Christ Jesus. Let him know that you're protected and fortified where God has you right now, and you're not going anywhere. It means abide. Listen, it says they will abide, or somebody say continue. See, good people have the spirit, the attitude, and the mindset. They abide. They continue. They have habitations. They remain, and they rest, and they're whole. Everybody stay stable with stability. Say, I'm going to be that kind of person. I got my stuff together. How many of you let the devil used to shake you off? I'll tell you what, anybody ever been unstable before? I'm here today, but you say the wrong thing, you're not going to see me no more. I pack my bags just like that. Unstable. I mean, you could be eating a dinner with them, and 1 minute laughing, cracking jokes, the next minute they're about ready to jump down your face. Unstable. Well, when we get into the Word, God will give us stability that we're able to continue in things and not be moved by what we see, hear, or feel, but be moved by the Word of God. Stability. I just sense that in my spirit. That's the grace and that's the gift that God's going to give to those of us that endure, that walk through this next season. Stability and peace. And that can only come by the Word of God. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 22. And the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. You're going to be plucked out. But you will be able to remain there. But you'll only remain there as you develop what? Lifestyle. A lifestyle of stability. And that lifestyle of stability will not come because somebody just tells you, oh, you got to be stable. It's not going to work that way. You need to be like me. You need to get yourself a mentor and just learn my habits, learn these things. It doesn't come that way. Stability will come from the Word of God. Stability will come from the Word of God. This word is healing, has healing abilities. It has, there's some things, this book can do things that psychiatrists can't do, that doctors can't do, that mama and daddy forgot to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? It will do it. But you got to develop a lifestyle where you're dependent upon this word.